Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Let's take our Bibles, go to the book of Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter number 28 today. Matthew chapter number 28. And we'll see what the Lord will give us this morning out of His Word. Matthew chapter number 28 today. Boy, it's good to be in the Lord's house this Easter Sunday morning. Amen. And good to see everybody out. And appreciate you being here. Amen. I was looking around at some of these men in suits, and I think it's the first time I've seen some of them in suits. And I look, man. And Eamon is just all decked out this morning. And I told him, I said, I even put a little bit of gel in my hair this morning too. Amen. But Matthew chapter number 28, and I'll give you a little thought out of here today and see what the Lord will give us to help us with. I love this Sunday. Amen. Matter of fact, it's probably my favorite Sunday of the whole year. I was talking to a group of preachers this week, and here's what they said. Said if a preacher can't preach on Easter Sunday morning, he needs to turn his ordination papers in. And I about agree with them on that. Amen. This day is the day that separates us from all other religions. And you say, well, what about Easter? I sure am thankful that He came. Amen. I am. I'm thankful that He was born. But there's something that's special about today. What separates us from it is that He died like any others, but He rose again one third in glorious morning. Amen. I'm glad that I'm serving a Savior that is alive and well, seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession on our behalf today. Amen. Hebrews or not Hebrews, Matthew chapter number 28. Let's stand in honor and reverence through the reading of God's Word, and appreciate you being here this morning. Good to see the Lord's house full this Sunday morning. Amen. And I say this, man, I sure am thankful. The Lord's house has been full for the past several weeks, even on Sunday nights too, and I'm thankful for that. Amen. Let me hit this just real quick. April the 24th, am I right on that, Brother Matt? April the 24th, we're launching a new ministry. It's our college and career ministry. I am so excited about it. It's going to be great. And Brother Matt and Miss Mandy is heading that up. Several others is going to be working with them. But if you're in that age group of 19 to 25 years old, married or single, we want you to make sure that you're here that afternoon. We're going to have a big cookout. And hopefully this week they're going to be delivering new sand for the volleyball court. We're going to get all that cleaned up. And we're going to have a great, great time at that. And I'm looking forward to it. Look what the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 28 in verse number 1. The Bible said this, in the end of the Sabbath, as it was beginning to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. I like this right here. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, where He wasn't there then. He's already gone. And here's what I want to preach to you about. Just a simple little message this morning on what the resurrection means to me. What the resurrection, boy, if we was to open the floor today, we'd probably be here all afternoon talking about what the resurrection means to each individual. But I just want to testify for about 20 minutes this morning on what the resurrection means to me. Now, Father, I love you today. You know the need of this service. I pray, God, that you'd breathe on us as only you can. I pray, God, that you'd preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. I pray, God, that you'd meet the need of the service, Lord. No doubt, there's probably somebody here that's not saved. I pray, God, that you would save them today. God, please don't let them die and go to hell. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd use us today as we preach, God. draw the backslidden close to you. Thank you, God, that we're serving a Savior that is alive and well. In Jesus' name, that name that's above every name, we pray it. Amen and amen. You can be seated today. Again, I want to look into this for just a little while today and preach on what the resurrection means to me. What the resurrection means to me. Now, there's a lot of things that we can say about this time of the year, man. We can go back and we can look at the birth of Jesus. Matter of fact, we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter number 3 when there's the first mention of the Savior and the coming Redeemer. And we can walk through the prophecies of the Old Testament, how it was prophesied that Jesus would come and Jesus would be born of a virgin, that he would live 33 and a half years, he would die a spotless, sinless death, he would arise victorious over death, hell, and the grave, he would stick around 40 days and ascend back in the heavens, he would send the Holy Ghost as a comforter unto us, he would give us the promise that one day he's coming back to get us. Man, there's so much, Brother Andy, that we could deal with here this morning. But I just want to be real simple, Brother Tim, and preach on this thought. What the resurrection means to me. What does Easter mean to you? I bet if we was to go around, especially to some of the younger kids, we would hear this. A chocolate bunny. Can I get an amen for chocolate bunnies this week? It's all right to say amen on chocolate bunnies, all right? You say, well, I don't bring them on down to our house. I promise you, we've got three or four girls at our house. Three girls and one lady that will eat every bit of the chocolate you bring to our house. Some would say, what do they call them things? Caterberry eggs? Is that what they call them? That's the I'd rather eat sardines than those things. Some would say, Peeps, is that what they're called, Brother Randy? I'm about the same way on them as I am them Caterberry eggs or whatever they're called. Some would say, can I get an amen right here? Reese eggs. Somebody say praise God for Reese eggs. Matter of fact, in this church this morning, in an undisclosed location that only Olivia and I knows about, is a bunch of Reese eggs hid. I can't put them at home because that little one that sung a while ago will find them and eat every one of them and her mama and her oldest sister. So Olivia and I has a stash put up here at the church of Reese eggs. Some kids would say it's an Easter egg hunt. Some would say it's a new outfit. Madeline, she got up this morning and I started out of the door early and she looked at me and she said, well, Dad, is that a new coat? I said, no, Madeline, I've had it about 10 years, I guess. I just rotate them around. But some would say it's a new Easter dress. Some would say this, some would say that. Some would say it's a 3 or a 4 day weekend. But what does Easter really mean? Let me give you two or three things and we'll go to Mama's house and eat turkey. Number one this morning, you can eat turkey on Easter too, not just Thanksgiving. Number one this morning, anybody else excited that it's turkey season? Miss Regina was shaking her head and just stopped. What is he talking about? Just stop. Olivia's got in her mind now that she wants to kill a turkey. So we're glad that it's turkey season, aren't we, Miss Olivia? And yesterday we was in Allegheny County, and I can't even call a turkey. And I just made some kind of noise with my mouth. And there was one literally, I bet he wasn't 100 yards from us, went to gobbling and cutting a fit. And we walked around the corner, and right there it was. And I thought, man, why did we not have a shotgun on opening day of youth season? But anyway, what is Easter today? Can I say this? Number one, here's what it means to me. It means that he is alive and well. It means that he is alive today. I know I've already said it, but let me say it again. It is what separates us from every other religion that there is in the world today. From every other religion that there is today, what separates us is this. It's that we have a Savior that not only lived and not only died, but we have a Savior today that is alive. alive and well. He's not sick today. He's not worried today. He's not sitting in heaven today taking shots of Geodon and Ativan. But he's sitting there in all of his glory and all of his power. He knows what's going on. Nothing takes him by surprise. He is alive today. That's one thing that Easter means to me. It means that we have a Savior that is alive today. I know I've said this many times and I've used this illustration before, but I'm going to use it again. I needed some help with some things at the house the other day, and Brother Will and Brother Logan come over to help me. I talked to them about it because I needed help. And can I say something? I didn't go up in the cemetery and talk to anybody in the cemetery about that. Here's the reason why. They're dead today. There was not one thing that they could do to help me, but I went to somebody that was alive and had a knowledge of what I needed help with. Can I say something today? I sure am glad that I've got a God that's alive. And when I need help, I've got somebody I can run to in my times of need. He's alive today. He's alive today. You say, preacher, what do you want to say? I want to say he's alive today. He is alive. You say, how do you know he's alive? Because I already talked to him. You say, did he talk back in an audible voice? No, it was louder than that. Amen. Oh, I know the voice of God, and he knows mine. So number one this morning, what does it mean that the Bible said he is not here, for he is risen, as he said? It means that he's alive. But can I say number two to you this morning? Not only does it mean that he is alive, Easter means this to me today. He is the anchor of my salvation. He is the anchor of my salvation, or the anchor of my hope. Can I say it that way? Listen to what the Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 6. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. You remember I said this a while ago, that after the resurrection, Jesus stuck around 40 days. And after 40 days that he ascended back into the heavens. But he said this. He said, it's expedient for me to go not away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will come unto you. It's expedient for me to leave here. And he said, if I leave, the Comforter's coming to you. Who was the Comforter that he was talking about? Well, John tells us this, that Comforter was the Holy Ghost. Are y'all okay? It's all right to use that charismatic word up in here. The Holy Ghost. It's a Bible term. The Holy Spirit. And you know what that Holy Spirit does? In times of trouble. In times of heartache. In times when I don't know what to do. It's that Holy Ghost that comes alongside of me and lifts my arms up and loves on me and helps me. You know what that is? That is a anchor of hope today. Hey, here's what it means. It means that I have an anchor in the Lord today. Why? Because he's alive. I now have an anchor of hope. You know what that anchor does, don't you? When you get in the storm and you're on a boat, you throw it out. Or if you want to just sit still, you throw it out. And it finds something solid to lock into. There's been times when I've been with Captain Greg Cass-Stevens back there. And boy, can we talk about some times with Captain Greg Cass-Stevens. But anyway, you know it's going to be a good day on the water when first thing in the morning, Greg drinks a 5-hour energy and chases it with a Red Bull. That's the truth. And then if Brent's there, it's just double that because he's doing the same thing. There's been times that we've been up there in the river of fishing and go to throw an anchor out. And there wouldn't be nothing solid for it to hold on. And we'd drift a little while until it found something solid. And then once it got locked in to something solid, It was there. Matter of fact, I remember when I was a boy growing up, we went up to the river one time that goes into Lake Norman and was catfishing it. And I'll never forget, Brother Greg, we throwed an anchor out and it got locked into something so solid that we couldn't get it back up. And the only way we was able to move, we had to cut the rope and let the anchor go because it was hooked in to something so solid. You say, preacher, here, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying to you this morning. I'm glad that I have an anchor today and it's hooked in to something solid today. It's hooked in to God today, a God that is alive. We have an anchor today. We don't have to just go through life up and down and in and out. We have an anchor in Him today. What is it today? Well, I thought about this. Why? What does Easter mean to me? What does the resurrection mean to me? It means He's alive. It means that He's the anchor of hope. But can I say this? It means that He is the author of my salvation. He is the author. Listen to what your Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8. Though He was a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made a perfect, He became the author of, watch these next two words, eternal salvation. I've had this, where in the world do you pull that doctrine of eternal security out of the Bible? Right there. Eternal. He was the author of eternal salvation. You know what I'm glad today, what it means to me? It means that He is the author. He is the originator of my salvation today. What did David say? David said, restore unto me the joy of what? Not of my salvation, of thy salvation. A salvation is not in me. It's not in the good works that I can do, but it's in me putting my faith and my trust in a holy God. That's an anchor that's alive, and because of that, He is the author of my salvation today. It's not in what I've done, it's what He did. It's not in what I can do, it's what He's already done. He is the author of our salvation. What does the resurrection mean to you? I'm gonna have to move if I'm gonna stay in that 20 minutes I said a while ago. Can I say this number, whatever? Here's what it means, and I've preached all morning really to get to these last two. Here's what it means to me. It means that He is the advocate with the Father. He is the advocate with the Father. Listen to what your Bible said. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Aren't you glad it didn't stop right there? Aren't you glad that's not the end? Because if that was the end, we all in trouble. All of us. Let me tell you the reason why. Everybody in this room's already sinned at some point today. Ain't a doubt in my. You say, well, preacher, I've not sinned one time today. Well, God bless you. Will you sign my Bible when you leave today? Because I have. You say, well, what have you done? Ain't none of your business. What have you done? Let's take every thought you've had today. Let's take every thought you've had since you walked up in this church this morning and put it on the screen. What did He say? Here's what He said. My little children, these things write unto you that ye sin not. Now listen to the rest of it. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What does the resurrection mean? It means that I have an advocate with the Father. You remember the Old Testament, you know, you remember the dispensation before we're at, and the law dispensation, and without giving you just a great discourse on all of that, here's simply what it was. Before Calvary, they would bring a sacrifice to the high priest. And once a year, that high priest would make a sacrifice for the sins of the people. that once a year he would take that spotless sacrifice, he would shed the blood of it, he would go beyond the veil of the temple into the holies of holies, he would present that blood, and God would forgive the people for their sins. But you remember what happened on Calvary? One of the things that happened that day when he gave up the ghost and died was this: the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. And in ripping that veil from top to bottom, you know what it done to everybody? It give everybody access into the Shekinah glory of God and into the holies of holies. Why did that high priest do that? He was making a sacrifice for the sin of mankind. Oh, but aren't you glad that day on Calvary's hill, the ultimate sacrifice was made for mankind? And now, because of that, it's not by the blood of goats and animals and turtle doves anymore, but it's because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We now have an advocate with the Father. Listen to what that word means. Here's what it means: one who defends, vindicates, or exposes a cause by argument. One who is friendly to, as an advocate with the Father. Now listen, one who defends. You say, preacher, well, I've got somebody that defends me. Can I just put it in our terminology today? It's a defense lawyer. That's what it is. You see, there's times that the devil goes before God. Job chapter number 1 and Job chapter number 2. The devil goes before God, and he is the accuser of the brethren. He accuses us before God. But guess what? In that great courtroom, I've also got an attorney there, and his name is Jesus. He's never lost a case. He is our advocate today. He is our go-between today. Here's what one said: in fulfilling this office of advocate, Christ upholds the rights of the children of God, sustains the privileges of sonship, and maintains the cause of every member of the household of faith. So when the devil says to mankind, or says to God about mankind, he's done, Aaron Stoltzfus done this, this, and this, Jesus says, whoa, wait a minute, God, I shed my blood for him. All of his sins is under the blood. I read this illustration, and here's what he said. He said, if any man sin, he tells us not to sin. But he says, if we do sin, there is an advocate. Thank God for Freon. There is an advocate. I don't know about y'all, but I'm hot. There is an advocate. Brother Andy, I thought you was going to take care of this. But you've got an advocate. I just turned it on for you. Praise God. There's an advocate with the Father. None of us sitting in this room today can live a sinless life. Not one of us. Not one of us. He already says when we do sin, there's an advocate. I read a story, and here's what that story said. It said that before a cruise ship can be put into service, there's an inspector that comes through with a contractor that has built it. And there has to be enough lifeboats and enough quote unquote life jackets for every person that is on that boat. And he said this was a true story. He said one day a vessel was fixing to sail out to sea, and a lady got on the boat, and as she was getting on the boat, she looked at the gentleman that was taking the tickets and said this: why is there all these lifeboats on here? And the man that was taking the tickets replied back to this. He said, that is in case we have a wreck. There is a way to keep you safe, to keep you afloat, in case we have a wreck. The lady responded, so is the captain intending on wrecking this vessel? The man responded back, no, he has no intentions of it. But if he does, we have what we need to take care of you. Can I say something to you today? Every morning that I wake up, I do not intend to sin. The Bible said this in the book of Romans. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But you know what? There is some time during that day that I'm going to miss the mark. There is some time during that day that I'm going to wreck the ship, Brother Dakota. But I sure am glad that when I do, that I have an advocate. I have a lifeboat. I have a life jacket in the Lord Jesus Christ today. He is our advocate. He is our go-between. You know, I thought about this. There's probably times that the devil walks before God and says, well, God, do you not remember Josh Forrest? God says, yes. It's a good thing he said yes, isn't it? Maybe the devil says, well, he's done this. Do you not remember Robert Potts? And he said, oh, yeah, I really remember him. Hear me, God can't look on sin and not judge it. And maybe just right before the judgment of God is unleashed, my advocate, my defense attorney, my lawyer stands up and goes, I need to say something. Objection, objection. And maybe God looks over at him and says, say on. He'll say, well, don't you remember that there was a day that I left right here and went into the womb of a lady by the name of Mary? And after I was birthed, I lived 33 and a half years and never sinned the first time. And then there was a day that I walked into the Garden of Gethsemane and I prayed until my sweat became as great drops of blood and even asked for this cup to pass from me. And I said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And don't you remember they arrested me in the garden that day and they took me to Gabbath that day and they beat me with a cat of nine tails. They placed a crown of thorns upon my head. My bowels gushed from within. They smote me. They plucked the beard from my face. I was beaten beyond recognition. Then I carried an old wooden cross up a lonely hill to a place called Golgotha where I laid my life down willingly. They took me down and placed me in a grave. But 3 days later, I rose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. What Josh has done, what Robert's done, what you've done, what I've done, Jesus says, I've paid it all. I've paid it all. God says, I'll stay judgment because the attorney has done his job. Oh, yes. I'm trying to be dignified this morning. I want to shout, the attorney has done his job at pleading that we have an advocate this morning. What does it mean, the resurrection? I'm right now done. What does it mean? Well, it means that he's alive. That he's the anchor of hope, the author of salvation. He's the advocate with the Father. If you realize just how wicked you are, that advocate with the Father right there will help you. God don't have to listen to you. The only reason God listens to you is because of his Son. Oh yeah, he is our buffet. He is our go-between. Here's what it is. What does the resurrection mean to me? If I could wrap it all up, here's what I would say in closing this morning. He is the all. He is the all. I said, preacher, what do you mean? That means everything. He's everything. Listen to this verse in Colossians 3:11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bound not free, but Christ is all and in all. What does the crucifixion and the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does Easter mean to me? It means he's all. He's everything. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He's everything. You say, you don't know what I need this morning. He's that. He's that. You say, preacher, I got a bad addiction. He can take it. I was thinking, come start playing. I was thinking last night, I got a good preacher friend, and I never called his name, but I got a good preacher friend. He stood in this pulpit several times and preached. That was a meth head. I mean, he was in bad shape. I've heard him give his testimony to young people and talk about snorting drugs off of a commode lid in bar rooms because he was so messed up. He and his wife both was like that. And you know what? There was a day that he got under conviction and got saved by the grace of God. And here's what he told me. He said, preacher, I've not looked back since then. He said, God changed my life. He said, I'm still an addict. He said, I'm just addicted to something else. He said, God changed my want to. Let me tell you what God is for you this morning. He's all. What does the resurrection mean? It means that He's everything. Listen to this. Let me just read you some stuff. Is that okay? Not a fragment of the divine, but the fullness of deity. Not a temporary shadow, but the true substance. Not a provisional makeshift, but a perfect manifestation. Not a social organizer, but the Savior of mankind. Not a world reformer, but a wondrous Redeemer. Not a Jewish shepherd, but Jehovah Shalom. Not a figment of reason, but the foundation of revelation. He is the creator of all things, the firstborn of all, in precedency of all, in the preeminence of all, the fullness of all, the reconciler of all, the treasure of all wisdom, head of all principalities, nourisher of all the body, forgiver of all the trespasses. That's what He is this morning. He's all. I thought about this. He's Alpha, Omega. He's the bearer of sin, the changeless one. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. He's never changed the first time. What He done for somebody else, He'll do for you. He's the changeless one. He's the deliverer. He's Emmanuel. He's the forgiver, faithful and true, friend that sticketh closer than a brother. That's Him this morning. He's the gracious and great shepherd. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's the I am. I am what? I am whatever you need me to be. He's Jehovah Rapha, which is the healer. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the mediator and merciful. Name above all names, the only begotten Son, the Prince of Peace, the potter, the propitiation for our sins. He's the one that quenched my thirst. He's the ransom for many. He's the sacrifice for sin, the stronghold in the day of trouble. He's truth. He's upholder of all things. He's the very present help in time of trouble. He's the victory. He is the victor. He's the well of living water. He's worthy. He's excellent. He's Yahweh. Study that word in the Hebrew and here's what it means. He is. He is. That's what that means. Anywhere in the Old Testament, when you see the word Lord, and all of it's in caps, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's not a mistake in your King James Bible. It's the way it's supposed to be. And it's the Hebrew word Yahweh. And here's what it means. He is. He is. He's whatever you need. He's all. You know what He said? Matter of fact, when Moses was fixing to go before Pharaoh and he said to God, whom shall I say sent me? And God said this, tell him the I am that I am hath sent me. That's Yahweh when you study that out. God right there, nowhere past that, said I am this. I am a pastor. I am a father. Are you with me? I am a husband. I am a son. But you know what God said? I am. He didn't follow that up with nothing. Let me tell you the reason why He's Yahweh.
You say, preacher, what do you mean? He's whatever you need him to be. You need him to be a father, he'll be a father. You need him to be a mother, he'll be a mother. You need him to be a brother, he'll be a brother. You need him to be a sister, he'll be a sister. You need him to be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, he'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's everything. And when I come to that letter Z, I had to think on that in a while. Here's what I found. Because of all that he is, it makes me zealous to serve him. It makes me zealous to do something for him. Why? Because he's everything this morning. He's here. Preacher, what does Easter mean to you? It means that he is all. Whatever you walked in here needing this morning, that's what he is. So preacher, you don't know you have no clue what I'm facing. Brother Randy, I may not. But he is whatever it is you need. Brother Dakota, I don't know. Miss Kelsey, I don't know what y'all are facing today. But he's everything you need. The reason he can be everything, here's the reason why. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said.